Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
My favorite chain was Fridays.
Oh, I love Fridays.
I didn't care for the food on the menu necessarily, but the happy hour was banging.
Happy hour solid at Fridays.
Happy hour solid.
Chili's actually had a good happy hour.
They did.
At least when I remember when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
When I lived in Virginia, I remember they had the free wings, they had chips. I mean, they were just like at the bar, yo. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And then the drinks were solid.
Hi. Welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business. Learn something. Laugh at something. Don't call it a comeback. In today's episode, we will discuss chains like Olive Garden, Applebee's, and Texas Roadhouse have experienced significant sales growth, defying the slowdown predicted for the American economy. But first, the intro.
Tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay. And if you don't, then
as usual, I'm joined by my good friend Danny DeVilla.
What's up, what's up, what's up?
If you enjoy our show, just give us a like at any point. Just press that button, and that really lets us know how we're doing, and it helps the other people find and enjoy our show as well. Let's get right into it.
Talk to me.
My manager came up to me the other day, and he was talking about an article that he read in Eater Magazine.
Okay.
Eater Magazine has Eater Miami, Eater Fort Lauderdale, wherever, all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we both talk a lot of restaurant stuff, and the premise of the show is that article depicts the resurgence
of chains,
of chain restaurants.
Okay.
Because millennials have been really blamed for the downfall of things like ketchup and and cereals.
Yeah.
And also chain restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're making a comeback. It's a nuanced subject. It's not just, oh my gosh, they're flooding back.
Yeah.
What's happening right now? The economy, there's a slowdown mm-hmm. in the economy, recession talk, that kind of thing, disposable income shrinking.
Absolutely.
Rising costs of staples. You go to the grocery store.
Everything.
Everything is
going up.
Everything's going up. And so the reasons for the resurgence, I believe, and according to this article,
okay.
is affordability.
Gotcha.
It's a big thing.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, when you go out to dinner with your family, if you go to a certain place, you're, okay, even a two-top.
Yeah.
You go out with one other person. I've gone to lunch. Let's even pull it back even further. You can spend $50 on lunch really easily.
Oh, fast.
Super easily.
Yeah.
Without any drinks or anything like
True.
That. You're just having a couple of...
An app, two entrees.
Yes.
You're probably at 50 right there.
Even pull it back even further. If you're ordering in,
oh, man.
You can spend $40.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
Like that.
$40, $50, and that's for two people. So it stands to reason that affordability may be driving the resurgence of the chain restaurants.
For sure.
And if we're going to be clear, we're talking the likes, and we're going to go into this throughout the show.
Mm-hmm.
We're going into the likes of Applebee's, of Texas Roadhouse, Olive Garden, and we're going to outline some others and piece together mm-hmm. why is it they're going in the direction that they're going. When was the last time you've been to an Applebee's, my friend?
I haven't.
Really?
Yeah.
Same. Even when Applebee's was a thing, I've gone there begrudgingly.
I don't think I've ever. I maybe once in my entire life.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your go-to chain restaurant?
For a while,
fast casual, pretty much.
Maybe like Miller's Ale House.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the few ones I still go to.
That's even harder to find.
I know.
I've been.
I've been to Olive Garden. I've probably been that. That's what I've probably been to the most recently out of all the ones on the list. All
right.
Maybe in the last year, maybe.
Are you a Red Lobster person?
I used to work at Red Lobster.
No way.
Yeah. It was one of my very early jobs. So, no.
You ain't going back.
No. I mean, when I first came here, I probably went a couple times. Mm-hmm. But that was years ago. And I just haven't, you know, there's so much seafood around where I'm at.
True.
And, yeah.
How do you feel about the Chili's?
I've been to Chili's recently.
Okay.
Not like super recently, but like in the last year as well.
That would be, I mean, it's been a long time, but that would be my most recent chain restaurant. And so the reason why I bring it up is another reason why you would find a resurgence is nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
They may have gone to the restaurant as a kid with their parents.
Yeah.
They may have gone
to I've been going to Chili's since I was a kid.
There you go.
Yeah.
And
my stepmom worked there.
What?
Way back in the day.
What did she do?
She was a server.
Oh, okay.
Back, you know, back before college and everything. Yeah.
You got service in your blood. Nice. I mean, I growing up, we didn't do a lot of restaurants.
Yeah.
We were a family of, you know, eat at home type of thing. And then we would go to the Chinese restaurant for
big to-dos?
For big to-dos, graduation, birthday, things like that. I mean, not even birthday, and it was later on in high school and things like that. I mean, we would bypass the sizzler real fast. And we did a show on dying restaurants.
Yeah.
And so that one, I believe, was that were we on YouTube at the time?
I don't know if we were on YouTube yet. We might have been. We were.
We were?
We were.
Okay, so check that out.
Yeah, we were for sure. Because remember we talked about Bob Big Boys? Yeah, we were on there.
All right, yeah. All right. That's probably like one of our first shows.
It was the summertime, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was this summer or last summer. So it's either, it's probably like in the 30s or 40s of our shows. Of the
YouTube show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, we have a couple of exciting shows coming up.
Absolutely.
We're currently looking for a person to do our food draft.
Yeah.
Our annual Thanksgiving, holiday food draft.
Too, right?
Yes, and we have an anniversary show. What year is this, my man? We're going into the sixth year.
We're wrapping up the fifth, going into number six.
Yes. So a couple of shows, and then we're
right there.
We're right there. And so that's exciting to me because I always enjoy the food draft.
Yeah.
And I have a couple of ideas I'll run by you. So look out for those. And so besides nostalgia, I would only imagine that you go to one of these classic chain restaurants, you have the consistency.
Consistency and convenience. Like the Chili's was right by the movies.
Okay.
We were on time, but I didn't, you know, we were trying to get something in that could fit. That was right by the movie theater, so it worked out perfectly.
Nice.
And I was making sure, you know, timing was what we needed, and that's all.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the consistency is before I get there, I know what I'm going to have pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, but that's what I mean. We were going somewhere because we wanted to know that it was convenient and we knew the menu.
Okay.
So something that worked for both of us. Does that make sense?
I got you. But I held out on you. Actually, my favorite chain was Fridays.
Oh, I love Fridays.
I didn't care for the food on the menu necessarily, but the happy hour was banging.
Happy hour solid at Fridays.
Happy hour solid.
Chili's actually had a good happy hour.
At least when
I remember when I was younger,
when
I lived in Virginia, I remember they had the free wings, they had chips. I mean, they were just like at the bar, yo. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And then the drinks were solid.
I didn't have a lot of exposure to Chili's because they didn't have as many locations as Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And when my first restaurant that I got into that I worked at was Bennigan's, and Fridays was their direct competitor.
Okay,
It wasn't across the street.
But it was close.
It was close. It was close.
Was it one of your watering holes?
Was Fridays?
Yeah,
in a sense, only because I knew people that worked there.
I had the same experience.
Yeah,
early 20s. It was definitely one of my watering holes.
Yeah,
and it was like you get off of work. When I was working at Red Lobster, we would get off of work. And the Fridays wasn't close, but it wasn't far. It was like within a mile.
Okay.
So, and that would be open till, that was open later than us. So we go there, have drinks and chill. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they had good drink menu, good happy hour. Then they bracketed the happy hours. They had the early, regular happy hour. And then they had the late night happy hour. And they used to make money, but I could not work at Fridays.
No.
The uniform.
That was the worst.
Could not do that uniform.
And extra flair.
Extra flair. Them stripes was not happening.
Felt like a referee.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. So, although I like to visit there.
Yeah.
Not for dinner, but I would love to head to the bar there.
Yeah. Oh, and get the, I used to get the, food wise, I would love the, remember the Jack Tenders?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
The Jack Daniels.
What was it called? Like, the Jack Daniels chicken strips, yeah. I think they were called.
Oh, yeah, they were fire, yeah.
That sauce, man.
Fire.
So good.
Yeah.
A little too sweet, but back then I could handle it.
Oh, yeah. We had different palates back then.
Yes, that is so true. That is so true. And I do, now... There used to be a Fridays
right by your
house. That's gone.
And I don't even know where the closest one is anymore.
It would have to be. They probably still like have the West Oakwood. Somewhere? They probably should still have the Oakwood.
Oh,
Plaza
okay,
one.
Yeah, okay. And that's pretty much where my closest Miller Alehouse is too.
That's and that's not saying it's close, but no. That's just
yeah.
So that and a common theme. I'm glad we brought up Friday's closing. A common theme that I believe that came out of the pandemic wasn't just, if you look at the numbers, restaurants closed. But what they did was reorganized.
Mm-hmm.
And they were closing locations that were underperformers.
Yes. Where they might have kept them alive, maybe mm-hmm. like if nothing ever happened,
yeah. But you can only imagine that the slow stores got even slower.
Mm-hmm.
And the dead stores got, had to go.
Absolutely.
So they ended up trimming the fat. And that is a common theme. So let's get right into it. Olive Garden. Okay. And as I'm doing research for this, a lot of the chains that we're mentioning, be it the Olive Gardens, be it the Applebee's especially, and the same store sales, okay, for instance, in Olive Garden have risen in the past few years.
Oh, wow.
And the chain has seen upwards of 11% growth across the country.
Nice.
In recent quarters. Good for them. But then you come across articles that, closing stores. So we're still out of the reorganization, and now they're probably shifting into growth mode.
Yeah.
And particularly, I believe, Applebee's is experiencing a similar thing because mm-hmm. they're closing close to 25 to 35 stores coming up in the next year.
But in our state or overall?
Not in our state, overall.
Oh, that's not that bad though.
I mean, they had what? I don't know, something like 1,600 units, okay. Right? And so, but they're building as well.
Oh.
Maybe not as quickly as they would want to because mm-hmm. land costs have risen.
Absolutely.
Building costs have risen. So that's going to really temper some of the growth.
Yeah.
But I was shocked to even find out that there was growth in that for that franchise. I mean, Applebee's?
I see the commercials all the time though.
Yo, that's one thing about franchises.
Yeah.
They throw out them commercials, man. Yeah,
they're out there.
Don't forget about us.
Yeah, they're still there.
I'm still standing. And so the biggest surprise, let's get into that, the Texas Roadhouse.
Talk to me.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
That franchise is on the comeback train.
Really?
Yes. Surprisingly, the Kentucky-based Texas Roadhouse opened its first restaurants in Indiana in 1993. And it operates about 552.
Is Roadhouse a peanut place?
Okay. Let's be clear. Roadhouse Grill and Texas Roadhouse are two different franchises.
Okay.
Or were, because there's no, I think they dissolved Roadhouse Grill. But I believe them to be very similar.
Okay.
I believe them to have the peanuts and things like that. I've never stepped foot in a Texas Roadhouse
before. Oh, I'm pretty sure I have.
Okay.
And I'm thinking they're the peanut one. Where they have like the nut.
They were both peanut.
Were they? Okay.
Yeah. If you're thinking of Texas Roadhouse and they had peanuts.
Yeah.
So did Roadhouse Grill.
Okay.
They definitely, because I worked there.
Okay,
gotcha. They had the barrels, the peanuts on the floor, all of that. Country music. And so, Texas Roadhouse is expanding.
Mm-hmm.
They are building new stores and new stores and new stores. And that was basically the flagship of that Eater article.
Gotcha.
That they're doing well and they're posting.
And they're building.
And they're building.
That's good.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised, but not at the same time.
No.
Because people aren't about to start cooking.
No, and they're trying to save, you know, like you said, anywhere you can save money, you're going to save money.
True. That is true. Quiznos, that's been on the respirator for a while. So now, is it off of life support, would you guess?
Against Subway?
Not against Subway. I mean, even Subways are closing down.
Yeah.
We lost the one around the corner from me.
And that usually, is that still the biggest franchise restaurant?
I can only imagine. I mean, it grew so quickly.
Yeah.
That would...
And it's small overhead and stuff like that, so...
Yes, because they weren't that big on the restaurant sit-down space.
Yeah, you don't need space.
Yeah.
You just need to eat.
Yeah, yo, take your sandwich outside. I'm going to build some more of these, yep. You know? And the way that Quiznos is getting off of the respirator... Is they're opening dual concepts.
So like they're Quiznos and something else?
Yes, Quiznos and Taco Del Mar.
Oh, okay, so the West Coast style.
Well, the funny thing is those are going to be in Central Florida.
There's a
flagship store
open
that's
up Del Mar?
Be in Central Florida. Yes, and then they're going to start. They're projecting, I think, 30 restaurants to be opened up around the in
because I remember talking
Florida.
To Mark from Cali.
Okay, I've never been.
Yeah,
how is it?
It's like a Taco Bell kind of
like a
yeah
like it would pair with Quiznos.
Yeah, like how Subway pairs with Quiznos. Taco Del Mar was like the Taco Bell.
Yeah,
yeah.
Same, but different.
Yeah.
And so they're expected to open in Venice, Florida, and other places in Florida. I didn't know Quiznos is Quiznos a Florida based company? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Okay, that's interesting. Mm. And do you remember the Melting Pot?
Yeah, absolutely.
Melting Pot is making a comeback.
Are
according
they?
To this article?
Oh my!
Yes, they're doing.
The fondue people.
Have you ever been?
I went once when it was. Up the street from us, right off of
Yes, on US-1.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've never been. The concept just eludes me.
It was almost like a, you would like cook your stuff at the table kind of thing. Like you would cook it into the fondue and get like your little mixes and stuff like that.
Mm,
yeah.
I'd pass.
You had to work.
Yeah, I don't want to work. This is why I'm here. So you can work. The Melting Pot, they are refurbishing their 30 of their existing stores, and they have plans to. They're renovating 90 of their existing stores.
Gotcha.
And have plans to open 30 new locations, and also very surprising.
The
bounce back, right? Like that's encouraging for our people.
Absolutely,
because. We lost a lot of jobs, and not only the jobs, we lost a lot of faith in the restaurant business.
True.
And so a lot of people would never go back.
Yeah.
They're not having it. And I don't blame them. We're still the crazy ones that that are still going. And so still booming is the fast casual.
Yeah.
Things like Panera Bread.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned Chipotle. I can only imagine.
Well, because they were able to weather the pandemic.
Yes.
Because, you know, you can do takeout.
Yes.
It's fast. And they're, you know, Panera's very organized, you know, where you get to, like, they have the number system. So I'm sure it was easier if, you know, you order your sandwich, you come in, mm-hmm. you keep it moving.
Yes.
It was a steady rotating door.
I agree. And you brought up a great point because the off-premise dining, I believe, is what fast casual can lean into.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may not have that many people coming through the doors, but you have people consuming your food.
Uber Eats, all that stuff.
Yeah, Uber Eats. Some of them have their own apps and mm-hmm. things like that, or their own pathways
yeah.
to be direct to the customer. And that's a revenue stream for them instead of just having to rely
yeah.
on people
coming
in
into the door. Absolutely. Yes.
And so that's one of the gifts that the pandemic has given the restaurant business is
how to pivot in situations.
How to pivot, and you're going into leaning on the off-premise dining.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's starting to level off. So it's still higher than before, but it's not as high because people are going back.
People are going back, absolutely.
Yeah, people are going back and sitting down and things like that. What is interesting to see is the lack of growth of more upscale and fine dining restaurants. Mm. Because I believe upscale and fine dining restaurants don't really have that option of off-premise.
No.
Unless they're doing catering and parties and things like that.
Yeah, but for most part, when you're going somewhere upscale or fine dining, you're going for the experience.
Yes, that's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point. And so if you're going to an experience, you're not going to eat it out of a paper box.
No, you don't even want that.
You might just, you may end up adding on something to go for somebody who's not there or
something
for later.
Imagine if we went to like D'Angelo, where we went for the experience.
True.
And ate something like that out of a box. We'd be pissed for the money you spend.
For the money you spend. And it ain't cheaper.
No.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You know, because remember, we went there and we had a great experience, but mm-hmm. it was the experience that really sold us on everything else.
Yes.
From the cutlery to the plates, the whole situation.
That is true.
Is what we paid for.
That is true. So then they may, I think that the fine dining part mm-hmm. won't experience that growth. Because the economy might be that ultimate suppressor of it, but I don't think it's going to go away. Because
no, it's not going to have. It'll have a lull, but it won't have a full decline.
Yeah, I don't think that necessarily they're going to die off.
No,
because people really want to still have those celebrations.
Absolutely.
They're still celebrating.
Yeah,
birthdays.
You're still going to celebrate things at all throughout life.
Correct.
Yeah, you just won't be. You probably won't see as many regulars as you did before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the certain price points.
And even some upscale restaurants are starting to franchise as mm-hmm. well, or not franchise necessarily, but chain, like adopt the chain method.
Yeah.
You have like things like Nobu and things mm-hmm. like that. They're cross country. You see them in New York,
Vegas,
things like that. And I don't know how that works because I've never been to one.
Mm-hmm.
I know that like things like Ruth's Chris.
Yeah.
That's a chain. But consistency is there. If you like
absolutely. And they're higher end. They're almost like how you do, you know, they're in the same boat as like, let's say like a Toyota and a Lexus.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That company owns the smaller chain and they own the solid chain.
Yes.
So it has a little bit, they're able to rely on each other.
True.
In times like this.
True. And that's a very interesting point that you made because a lot of restaurants have a more, I don't want to say lower tier, but a different concept.
Absolutely.
That may be further down mm-hmm. the price point and that may bolster them as a whole.
Yeah.
I know that Texas Roadhouse, they have Texas Roadhouse, but they also in that operate another 50 different
styles?
Restaurants. Mm-hmm. Maybe not styles, but different restaurants. And all of them don't really come to mind. But that's a great point that you make with the Toyota and Lexus.
Yeah.
Restaurants being a big business, you want to really diversify and widen your avenues at the same time. Mm-hmm. So that's a good look by you. And so overall, nationally, the restaurant openings are up. But it's important to really find that nuance. There are closings going on, so they're more of a reorganization and restructuring of the restaurant industry. So knowing that, you know, the recession talk is looming, that perhaps it's going to run, you know, the dip in the economy is going to be lasting, depending on what you believe. What do you see for the future of restaurants, maybe the style, or what's your gut feeling?
I mean, for what we do, we hope that everything just kind of balances out. But I mean, you're gonna change with technology, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I'm hoping we can keep our core values.
Okay, so when you say with technology, do you feel that, I mean, you went to tablets and things like that to be able to speed up the process between the server and the kitchen, and to really eliminate mistakes as well, because you're right there as things are being, you know, input. Do you feel that the technology will help you take more tables in the end?
Like, no, it doesn't.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, at least for me, it doesn't.
Well, how can we leverage technology to streamline, not maybe not in your concept, but in other, how can we
now it that? Does like, it does work. Like when you go to like a smaller tier, like not say smaller, but mm-hmm. like a Chili's,
okay.
You know, where you're able to, where the server comes over, you might get your initial order in, and then on that, you know, have the thing, the little screen on the table.
Yeah.
If you needed to add something or you miss something, you can go right there on the screen while they're gone.
Okay.
And add it, and it'll come to the table.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
So that eliminates the, you know, the, hey, I'm waiting, or I mm-hmm. need this, or XYZ.
I went to a place, and they didn't explain how things worked.
Mm-hmm.
They had, I sat in a booth, and there was a bell. Like a buzzer on the wall.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
You got pressed for service like a lab rat.
And I think of this like in the same token,
mm-hmm.
the places that I was naming, you being able to pay right away is huge,
true.
Which is faster for turnover.
True.
It's how you can get more tables in. Because in the end, there's only a certain amount of seats. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's not about can you take more tables. It's can you get more people set.
Yes.
And that's really what it breaks down to, is the more turnovers is going to bring more revenue, because you're mm-hmm. moving faster, where you're not waiting for that person to have to go run a card. They can do it right there at the table.
True.
Your receipt's right there. That is the ability. That right there is that time. Even though it's a couple seconds or maybe a minute or two, it breaks down over the course of a day.
That is an excellent point. Provided that you have people on a wait, like, you know, Olive Garden and mm-hmm. Applebee's still have people on a wait, that is really dead time when they're waiting for that check and change mm-hmm. process to occur. And I've been to places where they have the thing on the table and you could check yourself out.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan.
I'm not either, but I understand the concept of it.
I understand it, but I think the difference is, if it were intuitive,
mm-hmm.
meaning when I held that thing in my hand, I didn't know where to go next.
Mm.
But when I held my first iPhone, I can breeze through a lot of it.
Yeah.
Maybe not with ultimate proficiency.
Yeah.
But I'm not lost.
Yeah.
But I was lost
because it was user-friendly.
It's user-friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And POS systems aren't necessarily known for being
user-friendly.
The most user-friendly.
Right away. Like, if you know how to work the system, and once you get to a certain screen, you're like, okay, boom.
Yes.
Like, that's what I do with my tablet with my guests when it's time for them to pay. I guide them to where they should be at quickly, and then they can move, about faster.
Yes. But if they spent more time on the user interface,
mm-hmm.
and then you say, ready to pay? Yes, I am.
Yes.
Boom. You know, and go through like that, then, but there's still time for building them.
Absolutely.
As if they were a server.
Yeah.
You got to build it as if they are the customer mm-hmm. that's using it.
Absolutely.
And I think that was my experience of, like, I'm not a server, I'm a customer, so I don't have training in mm-hmm. this thing. But if you made it like, for instance, I was at like a rest stop or whatever, and I walked in, and it has a bunch of different restaurants, like not like a cafeteria, but like the mall, like a food court.
Uh-huh. But they had screens?
These panels, yes.
Oh, okay. So how McDonald's is doing now, if you haven't been to McDonald's in a while. I know you don't go. But yeah. I think I've been to McDonald's now where they have the big panels, and you just put your order in, and you can either choose to go pay at the cash register, or you can run your card, and they give you a number, and then boom, you're in the game.
Yeah. So run it like that.
Yeah.
Run it like that, and you'll have that customer, because you got to treat people like it's their first time, right?
Absolutely.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's hubris to think that, oh, they know what to do or whatever the case may be.
You got to simplify it.
You got to simplify it and capture them from the first time.
Absolutely.
If there's chains that you
guys frequent or that's coming back in your town or that you maybe didn't go to now that you are going to because of the economy or whatever, or you just love them and you haven't been there in a while and think about going back?
Yes, let us know in the comments, or if you're listening to the audio, write me. I'm themodernwaiter@gmail.com, or follow me on Instagram @themodernwaiterpodcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny Villan. Subscribe, 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 people.
We will see you next week.
Truly yours, Vincent Vega. Thanks for waiting. It's been a long time.